switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.
The Spirit of Faith Netcast is on the air. Glad you could join us once again for another Netcast and a new year, the year of 2009. Time is just getting away from us, isn't it? But I tell you what, this is going to be a great year because Brother Copeland has already put out the word for the year that 2009 is the year the glory will shine. And my pastor, Pastor of Faith and Victory Church, Ed Taylor, had a message on New Year's Eve for the church that paralleled that. And talked about the fact that this was the year that the things you didn't think could happen will happen easily. Well, I like that. In other words, the things God has for you that maybe you looked at and thought, wow, how in the world will that ever come to pass? It's going to come to pass this year. It's going to come to pass easily. So set your faith for that. Just believe that the men of God have spoken, and you can hold on to that and go for it. Amen. All right, we want to talk about the fact that this is a new year and talk a little bit about what we have in store here at Word of Faith Ministries. Now, you know that we every year like to reiterate the fact that our vision here at Word of Faith Ministries is to proclaim the Word of Faith, be a showcase of ministries, and train people to fulfill the Word of God. And I want to take just a few minutes to kind of dissect that and let you know what we mean by that. Proclaiming the word of faith is pretty straightforward. You know, in the book of Romans, Paul made the statement that it was the word of faith which we, that is Paul and the other ministers that ministered with him, the word of faith which we preach. Now, he went on to say that that word of faith which we preach is that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. We've talked about that word saved, sozo, in the Greek, means saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially, and delivered from temporal evil, to be made completely whole. Well, that's a powerful thing. And that's what happens when you confess Jesus as your Lord and believe God has raised him from the dead. Now, you say, well, I thought that just meant you were saved and got to go to heaven. Well, yeah, it does mean that, but it means so much more than that. Being saved is being delivered, being set free, being healed, being protected supernaturally, wholeness, soundness of mind. Oh, it just covers so much. It covers every area of human existence. That's why I like saying it this way: to be made whole spirit, soul, body, financially and socially. Those five areas that I just ticked off there, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially, those five areas cover the entire spectrum of human existence. And that's what's touched by this word salvation. So that's all part of the word of faith. He said that's the word of faith which we preach. But then he goes on to say that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved, delivered, healed, protected, made whole, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially, and delivered from temporal evil, made whole 100%. But what I wanted to key in on there is those two aspects of it. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And so when we say proclaim the word of faith, we're talking about the revelation that you confess God's word with your mouth, you believe it with your heart, and it affects your life. Whether it is your spiritual life in that you're born again, your mental life in that you have soundness of mind, that's important, or your physical life, your physical body, which is what we've been talking about over the last several weeks of Netcast about physical healing. So all of those areas are part of your life, and they're part of the word of faith. So we need to confess the word of God concerning your position and what you're believing for and the things God has promised for you. That's proclaiming the word of faith. Then being a showcase of ministries, that's a little more difficult to explain in some ways. A showcase, as I've mentioned before, is where you display your finest things. If you had like a jewelry store, you would put up a showcase, that would be a glass case, and you would display your finest things in that showcase and offer them to the public. Well, to showcase ministries is to display or to aid or to support ministries. And so that's has a large extent of what I do here at Word of Faith Ministries. Now, not directly as Word of Faith Ministries, but me personally, maybe more so. And at least that has been the case in recent years by being a helps ministry to Faith and Victory Church, for instance, and Word of Faith Worship Center down in Concord, Pastor Gay Price's church, and other ministries that I have helped along the way with various technologies and information and things. So showcasing ministries is part of that vision that the Lord gave me. And we're going to be doing more with that. There's going to be some neat things that are going to be happening, particularly on the Faith and Victory Church front. We've got some things in store there that I'm really looking forward to. And then finally, proclaim the Word of Faith, be a showcase ministries, training people to fulfill the Word of God. Now, that's what this netcast predominantly is about, and that is training you to fulfill the Word of God. And you say, what does that mean? Well, I'm a teacher. I'm called by God as a teacher. That's my anointing. I teach the Word. I'm not a fiery preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not any of the other five ministry gifts that I know of. Now, I'm open if the Lord has something in mind for me in the area of apostle, prophet, evangelist, or pastor. That's fine. But I am a teacher, and I have received and accepted that gift as a gift. And I just believe that God uses me in that area. I've had many years of confirmation of that in many ways, and I won't go into that. But that is what I focus on, is training people as a teacher to fulfill the Word of God. And what does it mean to fulfill the Word of God? Well, the Word of God doesn't change. It never changes. It is settled forever in heaven. That's what the Scripture says. So the Word doesn't change. But you know what? We, as people, change. We should be changing. Now, in the area that we should be changing to get in line with God's Word. We shouldn't be changing to get further away from God's Word, certainly. So we should be changing to become more in line with His Word, more conformed to His Word, not conformed to the world. Romans chapter 12 makes it very clear. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, what do we renew our mind to? We renew our mind to the Word of God, because it doesn't change, and it will never change. Now, there's a lot of people in these days that are trying to change the Bible. They want it to say something other than what it says. There are people that want the Bible to say that it's okay to be a homosexual. But you know what? The Bible will never say that it's okay to be homosexual. It just won't. It will never change. It has never changed. And that's because on that topic, God has said what He stands for in that area, and He's not going to change. His Word does not change. So what we need to do is get in line with the Word of God, not try to get the Word of God in line with us. Oh my, what a mess that would be. No, we are constantly changing. I'm talking about we humans are constantly changing, constantly doing things, saying things, thinking things that are outside or out of line with God's will and His Word. But the Word of God doesn't change. And so if we get ourselves oriented, aligned with the Word of God, then we become unchangeable. We become sound of mind. Now, there's a lot of people that say, Dr. Bill, you're just set in your ways. Well, yes, I am in certain areas. I'm set in the ways that are the ways of the Lord. I'm not going to change from that. You know, there's some people that say, you're too close-minded. Well, I'm close-minded in certain things. And those are the things that the Word of God says. You know, I'm very close-minded when it comes to how do you get born again. Confess Jesus is Lord, believe God raised him from the dead. Period. End of discussion. My mind is closed on that subject because that's what the Bible says. You can say that, oh, to be born again or to go to heaven, I need to jingle bells, you know, out in the airport, or I need to give so many alms, or I need to help the poor. Well, there's nothing wrong with helping the poor, but that's not going to get you born again. It's not going to get you saved. Only way to get saved is to do what the Bible says, and the Bible says, confess Jesus as your personal Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Shall be. There's no more emphatic term in the English language. Shall be means it shall be. Okay? So, I'll never change on that. I have no reason to change on that because it's true. So I can afford to be close-minded when it comes to how do you get born again. Now, I'm close-minded on a lot of things. I had somebody write me recently that said, how can you believe that tongues are for today? Don't you know they've passed away? Well, I said, you know, I wrote back, and their first, it was kind of a leading thing, because their first question was, do you believe the Bible to be the true and only inspired Word of God, inerrant and unchangeable? And I kind of had a feeling, you know what I mean? I had a feeling I knew where they were going with this. So I wrote back, and I said, yes. Emphatically, I do believe that the Bible is the inspired, the only Word of God. It is unchangeable, and it is our only rule of faith and practice. Knowing that I was probably going to get another email, and sure enough, I did. And that email said, well, then don't you know the Bible says that tongues are the devil? And of course, I wrote back and said, no, tongues are not of the devil. The scripture is very clear in what it says concerning tongues and when they have passed away. Now, the Bible says they will pass away. There's no question about that. Let me just go ahead and read you the scripture that I read him or that I relayed to him, because it'll make it very clear for you. He was quoting out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm just going to go straight to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to start with. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 8. Let's begin there. Charity, or divine love, or God's love for us, never fails. Boy, I love that. His love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, which is a spiritual gift, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Did you know tongues will one day cease, the gift of tongues? Whether there be knowledge, that is the word of knowledge, not knowledge like understanding with your mind, but knowledge as the gift of knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know when, now, in this current time, we know in part, and we prophesy in part, or in other words, not perfectly, in partial understanding. But when that which is perfect is come. Now, let's stop right there and concentrate on this term perfect. That which is perfect. What we have to identify is, what is the that which is perfect here? Now, let's keep reading here. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, which are the spiritual gifts, shall be done away. Now, let's just stop there and say that there are a lot of churches that say, well, the perfect is the Bible. And we now have the Bible. And since the Bible has come, then all this which is in part has passed away. In other words, the spiritual gifts. Now, if you were to not read any further and not read any other scripture and take that totally out of context, you might could make that argument, but that let's not do that. Let's read the Bible in context. Let's read what it says and then see how we understand it. Okay, next verse. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now, in this present dispensation, right now, we see through a glass darkly. Now, the implication is right now, remember that which is in part, that's why we see through a glass darkly, that which is in part is currently in operation. And if you want to say while he's writing this, that's fine, but just go with me here. Understand that the spiritual gifts are available in the sense that we see through a glass darkly or imperfectly because we only have a word of wisdom, not all wisdom. We only have a word of knowledge, not all knowledge. You see what I'm saying? But then when the perfect is come, we shall see face to face. Well, no, whoa, wait a minute. When is this face-to-face going to happen? Well, when the perfect has come. Well, doesn't that imply, and this is what I asked the gentleman that wrote me this, I said, doesn't that imply that the perfect has a face? Does the Bible have a face? No. You can't take your Bible and hold it up to your face and say, see, I see face-to-face. No. Who has a face that is perfect? Jesus. Who is coming at some future point? Jesus. Okay, let's see if that makes sense. Then, at that point, face to face, I now know in part, but then, when the perfect is come, I shall know even as I am known. Well, now let's stop right there. If the perfect that has come is the Bible, then I should know everything of the Spirit even as I am known by God. Do I know everything there is to know in the Spirit? No. And frankly, neither do you. You know, we don't know all there is to know. We still see through a glass darkly. But then when Jesus has come, we shall see face to face. We'll see him face to face. He'll see us face to face. We shall know him even as we are known of him. Now you may say, well, Dr. Bill, how can you say that with such certainty? Because in the same book, this is what I'm going to show you, in the same book of 1 Corinthians, but in the first chapter, look what it says. I'm going to read here. Let's see, where shall we start? Let me drop down here toward the end of the chapter. Okay, I'm gonna read starting in, boy, this is such a good chapter. I'm on screen starting in verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you're enriched by him, in all utterance, now that's tongues, interpretation, speaking the word, preaching the word, in all knowledge, that's gift of knowledge, spiritual gifts, and so forth, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift. Now, the word gift here is the same word used for spiritual gift later on in this same book. So let's just look at it and say, remember, he said, in all utterance and all knowledge, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, who is the perfect that's coming? What are we waiting for? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the perfect. When will all these gifts pass away? Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Do you see how simple it is? How plain it is? Well, what about this thing of when the perfect has come being the Bible? I don't know where they got that. Now, yes, the Bible is perfect. Yes, it is true. Yes, it is the word that is spoken out of God's own mouth. Yes, it is settled forever in heaven and is unchangeable. But is God perfect? Yes. Is God the Father perfect? Is the Holy Ghost perfect? Yes. Is the Word of God perfect? Yes. Is Jesus perfect? Yes. So what perfect is he talking about? He's talking about a perfect that has a face and a perfect that is coming. And a perfect that when he comes, we will know him even as we are known. Him the perfect. Sounds like Jesus. And we're not going to come behind in any spiritual gift until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, this is why I say it's important for me to teach you the word. And I'm not just saying just me. I mean, there's a lot of teachers that teach the word. But this is why you need to hear the word and why you need to receive the word, because you need to fulfill the word of God. Now, this brother that wrote me this email, bless his heart, I told him, and the last thing I told him in the message I sent back was, I am not going to argue with you. Remember what I said earlier about my mind being closed? It's closed. The Bible's true. I just told you what the Bible said. Okay. There you go. No reason to argue. Now, he can continue to believe that tongues are the devil, but the Bible doesn't teach that. Matter of fact, this same 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I always wonder what people that teach stuff like that do with this scripture I'm about to read you. He says at the very end of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's start in verse 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands' homes, for shame for women to speak in the church. What? Came the word of God from you, or came it out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write you are the commandments of God. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I'm not going to go any further there. Verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Verse 39. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Now, you can say, I don't believe in that tongue stuff. Well, that's fine. It's up to you. You can do with it what you want, but just don't forbid that anyone speak in tongues, because that would be against the word of God. Okay? All right. So, I'll just keep speaking in tongues. Thank you very much, because speaking in tongues will edify me. It will build me up. Hallelujah. It will build me up in my faith. And that's a good thing. You say, Dr. Bill, where'd you get that? All right. Boy, I just keep getting off on all these little things that I need to share with you. Let's go to the book of Jude. And, you know, Jude only has one chapter, so it's not Jude chapter whatever. It's just Jude. But let's look in verse, let's see. Boy, you can tell, you know, I always do this. I don't prepare exactly what scriptures I'm going to look at. I have a topic that I'm going to talk about, but then I end up getting off on a rabbit trail every time, and this is what happens. But that's okay. Verse 20. But ye beloved, Christians, brethren, sistren, all of you, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, you can go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and see that he says, when I pray in the Spirit, I'm praying in tongues. So when he says here, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, he's talking about praying in the Spirit or speaking in tongues. So when you do that, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. Now, I don't know about you, but I need to be built up on my most holy faith. I need to receive things from God, and I need to stay in the things of God. Well, man, we just got into a whole lot of stuff, didn't we? But that's good. I'm glad we do, and I'm glad that I took this opportunity, just a little time here, to explain the mission, the ministry, the vision of Word of Faith Ministries, that we are to proclaim the Word of Faith, be a showcase of ministries, train people to fulfill the Word of God. And if you'd like to be a part of this ministry, Word of Faith Ministries, I'd encourage you to consider donating. Now, one of the things you'll notice here on the screen, if you're watching this on the internet, now if you've downloaded it to your MP3 or MP4 player or whatever, you know, that's different. But if you're playing on the internet here, you'll notice that over here to the side, actually this side, as you see this, there's a little donate button. If you want to donate to help us preach and proclaim the Word of Faith, we would be extremely pleased for you to get involved with the ministry and to be a part of it. And we just believe that there are those that are called to partnership with this ministry. We had somebody get in touch with us and say, Dr. Bell, I want to be a partner with you proclaiming the Word of Faith. And that there's nothing more touching to me as a minister than to have people standing behind me, holding up my hands as Aaron and Hur did, Moses, and helping support the ministry. That is a blessing. You just don't know how much that is a blessing. So that'll help us do all the things that God has in store for us this year. And you may say, well, Dr. Bill, you haven't told us what some of those things are. Well, I know, but some of them are still cooking. You know how it is when you're cooking a stew, it just sits there kind of gurgling and simmering. There's still some stuff cooking out there. I don't want to take the top off the pot too early and share it, because who knows? It'll just keep getting better and better and better. That's how those stews are sometimes, you know. You just let them stay there and stew, and they just get better. Woo, particularly pot roast. Oh, my, I love pot roast. Yeah. My wife makes the best pot roast in the world, I tell you. Anyway, I digress. The point is, we want you to prayerfully consider becoming a part of this ministry, and then we're going to be sharing with you some of the things that God has for us, and you're just going to be really excited about all the things that God has in store. 2009, the year the glory will shine. Stick with us for that, and write me. Don't forget to write me, Dr. Bill, at WOFM.org. That's D-R-B-I-L-L, at WOFM, Word of Faith Ministries, .org, because we are a nonprofit organization. Remember, until next time, to fulfill the Word of God.
Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Cast not away your confidence. Keep the switch of faith turned on.